Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith.
Some people explain away their bad habits. They say, "It's just the way I am. I can't change." But that's a lie. The Apostle Paul calls our bad habits footholds for the devil. Today, you can resolve to say no to those habits and say no to the devil as well. To find out how, stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, we're in Ephesians chapter 4 in our series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. Here is Pastor Lutzer concluding a message on breaking stubborn habits.
Notice Paul throws this in, "And do not give the devil an opportunity." The Greek word could be better translated, "Do not give the devil a foothold." Don't give the devil a foothold. Why does Paul put that in? He's speaking about anger. But I think it does apply to all of the other habits. And I think that is the key right there. See, what happens is this. Here's a person who begins to become involved in a sinful habit, and he's at a point where he could stop if he wants to. In fact, he does stop at times. And he doesn't realize it, that that's the worst moment of his life. Because he says to himself, "You see, after all, I am not controlled by this habit. I can stop." And it sets him up for a gigantic fall. This is what happens to alcoholics all the time. They'll be so tired and so sick of themselves, they'll say, "Never again." And sure enough, they go for a whole month without it. And then they say to themselves, "See, I'm not an alcoholic after all. I've got it licked. I can stop whenever I like." And they are on the most dangerous slide that one could ever imagine. You know, it was Mark Twain who said, "Of course I can give up smoking. I've done it 500 times," he said. Now, in those cases, Satan, and by that I mean a personal demonic spirit, will attach himself to an individual and will gain a foothold. And that foothold, even in the life of a believer, will be so strong, Satan will entrench himself. This demon will stay there and will simply say that as long as you are in my territory, I will capture that territory and I will hold it and I will not give it up. So here's this Christian who reads Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says, "Put off the old man," and he tries to put off the old man, and he can't. He can't break these habits. And he cries to God, and he says, "God, I ask you to help me," and he's still defeated, and he can't put off those habits. And he even begins to say, Satan could be involved in this, and he rebukes the devil, and the devil doesn't leave. And you do that a few times, and pretty soon you'll just simply say, "Pastor, it's all right for you to preach these things, but it just doesn't work." Because it's the role of the devil to get you to believe that change is impossible, and it's his responsibility to bring up images and experiences in your mind in which you have failed to prove that what he is saying is right. Well, why doesn't the devil leave? Why is it that you can say, "Be gone, Satan," and you're back in the very same habit, sincere though you were? Well, the answer is, not only do you need a new sensitivity and a new nature and a new set of clothes, but you also need new submission. Would you turn to James chapter 4 for just a moment? James 4:7 says, "Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Do you notice the sequence of events there? James says, first of all, submit to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you do not submit to God first, you can resist the devil, and he will keep that foothold. He will not leave. You see, what God wants us to do in all of the experiences of life is, he is very desirous that we be fully submissive to what he wants. In fact, if you want to know what God is after in your life, it is that he might be able to take you and to break you in total brokenness before him. And you are not broken until you are broken in the area of your strength. Scripture says that Jacob, the Lord touched the sinew of his thigh. One doctor said that that's the most important sinew and it's the strongest in the whole body. God says, that's where I want to touch a person. Here's a man, for example, who is known in the business world because of his tremendous ability in business. A God-given gift, but he is unbroken, he is unsurrendered, he is doing his own thing. God will take a man like that and put him through bankruptcy if he has to. I've known one man, I think he's on his fifth bankruptcy, and he still does not understand that it is because he is unbroken, unwilling to yield to God, that the hardness of his heart, despite the fact that he is religious and saved, the hardness of his heart prevents God from doing what he really wants to do in his life. You see, if I have the ability to preach and to teach the Word of God, but if I am unbroken, and you know, God's got to continually work on me. But if I am unbroken, people will leave and they will say, we enjoyed it, it was interesting, and it was even helpful, but no permanent fruit will ever come of it. Until I am smashed to smithereens before God in the very area of my strength. Now there are people who resist God. They make up their own mind. They say, I am going to be so stubborn. I don't care what God does. I don't care how much pressure he puts upon me. I will not submit. And they are bound by their habits. They have given the devil a foothold. And they command him to leave. And he will not leave. And it is because they are unsubmitted to God. You know, one of the best illustrations of this in all the Bible, a man who remained unbroken to the end, was Jonah. God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Jonah says, I'm going down to Joppa. And when he was there in the boat, he said to the men, when it was found out that he was the culprit, he says, cast me into the sea. Now, do you realize that Jonah didn't realize that God had prepared a fish to swallow him? He thought that in being cast into the sea, he genuinely believed that he would drown in the Mediterranean Sea, and that's what he wanted, because Jonah said, I am so stubborn, I am so angry at God sending me to those Ninevites whom I hate so much, that I would rather die and be cast into the sea than to be obedient. And there in the middle of that fish, you remember, he finally cried out to God, and we read it and we say, well, God finally got Jonah. Well, I say to you, not quite. Because it is true that Jonah went to Nineveh later, but do you know he still was unbowed and unbroken? Outwardly, he obeyed God, but when God sent that great revival to Nineveh, Jonah was complaining about it, and he was sitting there waiting for the destruction to come on the city, and he was so angry, he told God to kill him. He said, I can't stand it. Even there in the belly of the fish, though he prayed and though he besought God and told God how sorry he was, he still wasn't broken before God. And you know that there are Christians today who are just that stubborn, just that stubborn. There are Christians who say, Lord, I would rather that I die of a heart attack. I would rather commit suicide with all of its ugly circumstances connected with it, that even suicide is more attractive than absolute submission to your will and purpose. And as long as they are unsubmitted to God, the habits stay, the behavior doesn't change, and they ask the devil to leave, and he doesn't because he has a foothold and says, I can stay here because you are unsubmitted. You know, I would say in the last 6 weeks, God has really taught me some things about submission. One of the things he's taught me is that you can never submit in a hurry. I used to always think all that you have to do is sing a song. You know, I surrender all and mean it. And if you had a tear in your eye, it really counted. I find that I can't submit in a hurry. Sometimes I have to struggle and agonize before God. That's the first thing God has taught me. The second thing that he's teaching me is that I can't submit only once. I have to submit in the morning before 9 o'clock. And then I have to submit at noon, and then I have to submit in the afternoon, and I have to submit in the evening, because unless we are willing to submit totally in total agreement with God, we become unbendable. God may use us as he used Jonah, but it will always be with a sense of purposelessness because of our own stubbornness. And I think today of people, Christians, who are put on the shelf, whom God has been trying to break for years, and they just will not bow. They will not bow. God may use the most precious thing that a man has. He may even use his children, and those children go astray. Then the parents say, we deserve better than that. And really what God was waiting for is for those people, those parents, to be totally, totally submitted to God on every point, and still they don't bend. Because their heart is stubborn, just like mine and just like yours. You know, I read many books, too many maybe, but I find that there are so many writers today who say, you know, we're just human and we just have to understand that God remembers that we are but dust, and all that is true. But sometimes we sell the Lord Jesus Christ short on his ability to deliver his people from their sins. And there are Christians with habits, and they've learned to live with those habits, and they have compromised, and they've said that the Word of God is not true. And they have been so stubborn that God has brought all these things into their lives, and they still fight, and they still argue. And they are unbowed and unbent, though they may pray like Jonah in the belly of the fish. And because of that, the devil never flees from them. How does God change people? He gives them a new nature, a new self. He gives them a new set of clothes, a new sensitivity, a new submission. And when they are fully submitted, the devil loses his foothold and they are free. Remember that God has not come to rob you. God doesn't want submission just so that he can humiliate you. He wants it that he might bless you, that the garments of the old life would be cast aside, that you might walk in freedom, in joy, and in victory. Of course, he can deliver you from that sinful habit.
Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. This series of messages was preached some time ago, but we believe very deeply that its truths are so desperately needed. I've written a book entitled How to Break a Stubborn Habit. Now, it is based on the biblical truth that Jesus Christ won a victory for us, but the question is, how do we access it? For a gift of any amount, this resource can be yours.
Erwin Lutzer has concluded Breaking Stubborn Habits, the first of four messages in a series on how to say no to a stubborn habit. Next time, tune in as we learn about three prerequisites for change. All of us have bad habits, and these can be tough to overcome. How to Break a Stubborn Habit is a book by Pastor Lutzer that shows the path of victory over temptation. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.